God. We'll sing one more, number 16. He is our wonderful, merciful Savior. Number 16. Good morning. Good to see everybody. Here comes the cherub choir in too. They're going to sing for us today, which is exciting. So welcome. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, grandmas, to all of our women, actually. We just honor you today. We're thankful for every one of you and the sacrifices that you give day in and day out, no matter what your age is. So welcome. Just some announcements before we go on with our service this morning. After church, so we do have carnations for all the women here today, and I think there's a little bag with some chocolate kisses in it as well. We'll try to have, I think the second graders should be at the main doors and also the door into the narthex, so make sure you get that on your way out. That is for you. You see, we had special offering last Sunday, Conference Sunday. Wow, praise the Lord. What a beautiful offering that we were able to send to the four seas. So we praise the Lord for that. If you have given a lily in memory of someone, thank you for doing that over Easter. We've used them all these Sundays. If you'd like to take that home today, you're more than welcome to do so. You can still enjoy them in your own home for a while. They last a long time. The last day of Sunday school classes, just to make sure we're aware of this, we have two more Sundays of Sunday school. The 15th and the 22nd will be. The cherub choir, they're singing today. They won't actually practice as the cherub choir, but they might, I guess, do we have CD songs for VBS or not? Maybe by next week. Okay. Everything is running behind, even the VBS material with all the shipping issues and all. But so we'll still do something. Sunday school still starts at 9:15 as usual, all right? On that note, we do not go to 9:30 church until the second Sunday of June, just so you're aware of that, all right? Let me see. I think that's all of the announcements for now. I want to say congratulations to our graduates. There's names listed in the bulletin, but we will recognize those a little bit later on in the service. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you for the beautiful rain showers that you brought through the night. Just so gentle, Lord, soaking into the ground that's so desperately needed. We just praise you, Father, for all of your goodness. Lord, we know your word says in Acts 17 that it's bringing showers of rain from heaven is one of the ways you display your goodness. And so we've sung that chorus even this morning, Lord, to you of your faithfulness throughout our years, whether it's up to 94 years here this morning, all the way down to the little babies. All of our lives, Lord, you have been and you are so, so good. And we sing to you our praises. We sing of your goodness and our love to you and our love for you. So thank you for this day that we can gather here in this sanctuary to celebrate you, Jesus, as our King, you, Heavenly Father, the Ancient of Days. We honor you. We exalt you, we praise you, for you are holy and righteous and true. And Father, as we do, we ask for you to fill this sanctuary with your power, your wonderful presence here, and your glory as you move among us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. Our opening hymn will be number 3 if you want to look in the hymnal. Otherwise, the words are on the screen. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you. Amen. Was that beautiful? That was amazing. Just think what heaven's going to be like. As beautiful as that sounded this morning. Well, take a moment, greet each other, please, before you're seated. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Good to see everybody and certainly all our cherub choir and all their energy and excitement here. You ready to sing? Great. That was a pretty serious. Thought you're going to have to sing by yourself, huh? Okay, I'm embarrassing little Lincoln up here. So, Just prayers here, a couple things that went on the prayer chain yesterday evening. Actually, Ellie Fisher, she's one of our seventh graders, finishing seventh grade. Is she here, Ellie? There you are. I was looking around. Yeah, she sort of, her hip was causing troubles in the relay race, I guess. So they're going to have an MRI, is it tomorrow or Tuesday? Sometime this week. Hopefully she didn't tear her labrum there in the hip. So we're praying for you, Ellie. Okay. Also, Carmen Block's brother, Reggie Davenport, if you remember, he had a heart attack about 2 weeks ago and they sent him home. He had another one yesterday. I believe he lives in Mitchell, but they had to airlift him up to Sioux Falls to the heart hospital. So prayers for those two. Also, praise the Lord for the rain, right? Wow, God is good. Tomorrow, May 9th, is our biggest day of birthdays in the congregation. We got a bunch of them. So I'll start with the oldest, Calvin Hagee. Tomorrow will be 94 years old. Happy birthday, Calvin. Yeah. Got some of his family here, daughter Karen and husband and Nancy and some family and Susan and some family. So welcome. We're glad you can be with us today. Then we come down to Carl Zabe. His is tomorrow. Where are you at? There you are. Happy birthday, Carl. Jay Herbolz is tomorrow. Devin Benz is tomorrow. Julie Crick is tomorrow. Austin Pillsbury is tomorrow. He was here for Sunday school. Bo Guthmiller is tomorrow. How old are you going to be?
Six.
Happy birthday. Katie Seiler, which would be Arlen's, is that right? Daughter-in-law?
Yeah.
At least I had it on the thing. Okay, all right. Any other joys or concerns here then? Happy birthday to all of our May 9th crew. Scott Nuss. Yeah, great. Yes, Grace Nuss's birthday was this last Friday, as she her last day of high school too. One of our senior girls. Happy birthday, Grace. Okay, over here. Okay. Oh yeah, Bruce. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, Mary Handel's mother, Betty Guthmiller, it was her 92nd birthday on Thursday. Mary's brother Bob is here with us from California. Welcome. Welcome to you. Okay, yeah, Joanne.
Hillary had her baby yesterday.
She did. Okay, all right. Hillary Wade had a little boy early this morning. No stats yet. Okay, congratulations to her. Yes, Amber. Okay, tell me your first name again, sorry.
Amy.
Amy. All right. Amber's mom, we pray for you as she's in a cancer battle ongoing. Okay. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you. We sing of your goodness. We thank you for these birthdays, so many mentioned, coming tomorrow, some last week. We thank you for visitors here from California and other places, Iowa and in South Dakota, for these birthdays. We thank you for Brian and Amber and Amber's mom and dad here. And we lift up her mother. Lord, I don't know all the details of the cancer, but you do. And we look to you, Jesus, as our great physician. We pray for her right now as she sits among us and ask for your healing touch throughout her body. Father, we thank you for it. There's many others, Lord, who are in need of your power as well. We pray for them, for Ellie, Lord. We just ask for your healing there in her hip, the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons there. We pray and hope that nothing was torn. If so, we ask for your healing and mending power, but we also ask for wisdom to the doctors. Lord, we lift up Hillary to you as she gave birth to a little baby boy early this morning, and thank you for watching over her through the pregnancy, and we pray for strength to her and strength and health to the little one, Father, in Jesus' name. We lift up Reggie Davenport, as he suffered another heart attack. Thank you for healing and wholeness there to him. Lord, I have a couple unspoken. One, a young lady that's going to Mayo Clinic this week for her back. Some serious struggles going on there. Father, we look to you for healing in her back, throughout her being. We pray for wisdom there, that help can be found for the wisdom that you give to medical science as well. For another one, Lord, who is due for a scan tomorrow, a PET scan as well, we lift him up to you and thank you for going before him and his family. Lord, there's so much that we come to you for in regard to our physical bodies. And we know when you walked on this earth, you demonstrated your healing touch again and again and again. Thank you for the rain, the refreshing rain, so wonderfully given. And as we pray for that, Lord, we pray for the rain of your Spirit, the outpouring of your Spirit across this nation to heal our land, Father. Heal our land. Bring revival to this nation. And we thank you that you are working. We don't always see it, but we know that you are. I lift up two friends, sort of family members of Diane Calden and Scott Slattery, who had a stroke, has three young children. We pray for him, for his dad, Jerry, who suffered a heart attack too and has a lot of ongoing struggles there. Lord, we pray, as we pray for our nation, we do pray for our president, our vice president, our congressmen and women. We pray for our Supreme Court justices with big decisions coming, Lord. Big decisions coming. Give them wisdom, Lord. Your word says the heart of the king, that refers to any leaders, is that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whithersoever way you will. You will, Lord, even as you turn the rivers of water. We pray that abortion could come to an end in our nation, Father. We lift this up to you. Thank you for working. Thank you for our troops serving so faithfully at home, serving abroad. Keep them safe, Father. We thank you for all these things and anything else I may have missed, Lord, today. Certainly our moms and grandmothers. Bless them, Lord. We love them dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want our seniors to come up. We don't have them all here, but the ones that are, please, if you'd come on up. There's a few of our senior girls that work at our care centers, either here in Menno or over at Freeman, and part of that means they work every other weekend. So we're thankful that you do serve in that way. Grace and Peyton both do. And I know Bridget, she's probably working today. Kaylee. So, we have these New Testaments. There's a couple in our church that for years have done this. The gentleman has gone on to heaven. The wife is still living, but they give these every year. It's a pocket New Testament for our seniors. So Peyton Huber, and can she step up to this mic quick and tell where you're going to school? Okay, Forrest, I didn't tell you that, did I?
No.
Okay.
I'm attending Mount Marty University next year to major in human services.
All right, awesome, Mount Marty. Okay, Kaylee McCoy.
I'm attending the University of South Dakota next year to major in social work.
Good. Grace Nuss. Go ahead. I got to find your Bible.
I'm attending University of South Dakota to major in finance.
Okay. We know where to come for a loan. Just kidding. So these three, we have Austin Pillsbury. He was here for Sunday school, but I guess not now. Mikhail Tabke, which maybe I'll give her testament to you in a second. Donna, she's graduating, is it from Groton High School? Yeah. We have Laura Fisher. Okay, I got these mixed up. Who am I missing? Bridget Vaith. And I think I said the other. Star Kasurik, she graduated from Tripp High School yesterday. And Austin, I believe. Yes. And our college graduates. Avery Handel graduated probably Friday from Southeast Tech. It's in the bulletin there. I got to look at it. With an associate's degree in mechanical engineering technology. Trinity Kasurik, she graduated from Southeast Tech also, an associate's degree in law enforcement science. And Matthew and Jenna Pressler graduated this weekend from USD, School of Medicine, and it says they're going on for their residency program now in Toledo, Ohio. So let's give these all a hand, please. And let me have a prayer. Father, we do thank you for our graduates, those that are able to be here with us this morning, those that aren't. You've brought them to this point, eight of them from high school and three that we have listed, four actually from college. We just thank you, Lord. It's been just a joy watching them grow from little bitty all the way to seniors in high school and college graduates. We ask you for your continued blessings on their lives, Lord, as you guide them one step at a time. Thank you for leading them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, girls. Can you find Mikhail's and give that to Donna, please? I want to read from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Since it is Mother's Day, I chose this one. It says, honor your father and mother. We know it. This is the fifth commandment. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. Let's stand together. In place of the doxology, we will sing the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for all of your blessings, so incredible. Blessings of family, moms and dads and grandparents and children. Lord, we gather here to honor you as family for all that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And so we give to you as we bring our offerings, our tithes into your storehouse with hearts of thanksgiving and joy. Thank you for blessing these gifts. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, who is our indescribable gift, as your word says. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we are going to have the cherub choir sing first for us this morning. Big thanks to Mick Huber as she plays, and Deb Schmidt directs them, and they work with them every Sunday, so thank you for doing that. That was great. Thanks, Mick and Deb. And I'm sure Mick taught the sign language for that last one. Thank you. If any other kids want to come down for the Kingdom Kids time, you sure can.
Great. That was really fun. What is today?
Mother's Day.
Did you do something for your mom today?
I went to the grocery store.
You went to the grocery store? All right. Did you buy her something?
No.
No? Dad did. Oh, you planted flowers in your classroom at school. You made a card for your mom. You made frosting cookies? Neat. You made breakfast? Oh, that's wonderful. Did you? And with what? Oh, Transnita's handwriting. Neat things you all did. Well, you know what? Moms do a lot of things, don't they? They do a lot of things. So I brought a few hats to talk to us about what are some of the things that moms do. Here I have a cowgirl hat. Do you know what moms do? They herd you, don't they? They herd their children here and there and everywhere, right? Take them places. All right, what else do I have here? Oh, I have a baseball hat. Do you know that your mom, she's probably your biggest supporter when you go play games and things, right? Is your mom there? Your mom's there to cheer you on and encourage you and coach you. And in here I have a Captain Sailor hat. This reminds me that moms like to go on trips. And do they ever take you on trips? And your dads go too. That's fun. You're going to do today? You went on a trip today? No. You're going to go on your car. Okay, not in a boat. Well, and your mom too, I have a little Krispy Kreme donut hat. This reminds us that your mom cooks, doesn't she? Yeah, I know dads do that too, but your moms cook and make sure you have good, nutritious food and donuts too, right? Does your mom ever read you stories? This hat, I'm not going to put this one on, it'll really mess my hair up. This reminds me of a hat that moms wear when do they read you stories at night? Do they tuck you in bed? They used to when you were younger. Yes, and give you all the love like you guys all sang about. Moms do that. And then last one I have is a hard hat. Your mom helps to build your home, to help teach you kids all about God and Jesus, and to make your home a strong home. Well, you know, our moms do other things too, and we're so grateful to them. And who gave us our moms?
God.
So we thank God. We thank Him for giving us our moms and our dads. Yes, and do you know what the Bible tells you, boys and girls? Pastor Mike kind of read this in a different, he read it in the Old Testament, I believe. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, what? Obey your parents, your moms and your dads in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, love, and respect them. And it comes with a promise that you will live long and a good life. So one of the things our moms really love for us to do, love them and listen to them. Okay? Now you guys be sure, give your mom a hug today and tell her what? Tell her those three words she loves to hear. I love you. And happy Mother's Day to you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we're so grateful today to be here. What beautiful children here. How lovely they sang, Father. And we just thank you so much, God, for them giving us all moms and grandmas and great-grandmas and aunts and teachers and all of those that put into our lives as children. We're so grateful. Help us to love them today, to show them our love by listening to them and loving them. Bless all these kids today wherever they go, Lord. Help them to be a blessing and to shine your light to others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, you can get your papers now. Over here.
All right, thank you, Ann. Yes, our moms wear lots of different hats. By the way, our cherub choir is 3-year-olds through third grade. That's the age group that was up here singing. They did wonderful. You all did so good. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 here in just a moment. when the children get back to their seats. Thanks, Denise, for always helping with that. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Father, we thank you now for your word. Your word that is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word that guides and directs us through our lives, that speaks to every part of our lives. Parenting and so much more. How to live. How not to live. And we thank you for it. And Father, I ask that you'd speak through me this morning to those gathered here by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, as I start out, you might think, well, it's an interesting passage for Mother's Day, Pastor Mike. But I guess if you listen and follow through, you'll see where I'm going on this. Chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writing to the church in this city of Thessalonica. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. Nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, nor from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, here we go, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Amen. Actually, if I'd read further, it goes on with a description of comparing fathers. But we're going to look through this morning. On this Mother's Day, there are few things that are more important than the home. I don't mean the physical structure. I'm talking, as you should probably know, about families and relationships within the home. The family is the basic institution going all the way back to creation. It was God's design back in the Garden of Eden. At creation, he created Adam. He put him into the sleep. Adam, he takes one of his ribs and from that makes Eve. And he tells them, Genesis 2:24, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That is God's design for the family from the beginning to now. So in this 1 Thessalonians, we see just little glimpses what we're going to look at today, part of what I read there, God's inspiration for a mom. I didn't read further, but we find for a dad also in that same place these essential qualities. And those people of Thessalonica were very dear to the Apostle Paul. He had spent time with them. In chapter 3, listen, he talks about his care and affection. He says, night and day we prayed most earnestly that we would be able to come and see you and supply what is lacking in your faith. So as we're looking through this, sort of see Paul and Silas, it was on their second missionary journey that they came to this city of Thessalonica. This comes in what would be part sort of modern-day Turkey, these cities. There's more than this, Ephesus, and when you get into those. So if you think of that part of our world today, they were going there to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Messiah. That's what they were doing. For several months, they stayed with these people. In chapter 17, verse 2 of Acts, that's where we find that. And he says, just a phrase there, as was his custom when he got there, he went to the synagogue, and for three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ, Jesus, had to suffer. So when we think about the home, our homes, this is nothing earth-shaking today, but we have got to know it. We've got to be reminded of it more than ever. Our homes, the Christian home, is absolutely essential. And we as parents, as grandparents, have to do everything we can to help make this work. Because Satan, the devil, is fighting harder than ever to try and destroy the family unit as God designed it from creation. He's attacking it from every angle. Some things crazy that we could never even think of it. Think of some of the stuff we're hearing. Way back in Genesis chapter 18, this was the time when Jesus, before he was born in Bethlehem, he comes to Abraham in his pre-incarnate form as the angel of the Lord. He comes with two other angels to Abraham, to his tent. And it doesn't take too long, and Abraham realizes, this is the Lord. And the Lord gives instruction first about Sarah. She hadn't born Isaac yet. The Lord says to Abraham, at this time next year, I'm going to return to you, and your wife is going to have a son, and you're to name him Isaac. Sarah's hearing this in the tent. Remember what she do? She laughed. That's why they named him Isaac. Isaac means laughter. So I'm not going into all that. Jesus says to the two angels, shall I tell Abraham what we're about to do? Well, below the hill where they were on was Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know what happened there. But this is what I want to show you. God says about Abraham, he says, I've chosen him, here you go, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. So the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he promised. That is what we have to do. And we are trying to do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. We're doing our best. So in this, if you're filling in your outline, we're getting to some of those blanks now. I chose the title, Qualities of a Devoted Mother, because that's how the Amplified Bible brings out that phrase in verse 6. So first quality, being gentle among you. That's what Paul said to the people of Thessalonica. Verse 6, 1 Thessalonians. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. He was saying, we could have demanded all these things from you when we came as apostles, but we didn't. What does he say? We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Like a mother caring for her little children. Amplified says, like a devoted mother, tenderly caring for her own children. And so you are, ladies, grandmas, you are all of that. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, there's some days I don't quite feel I'm so gentle. And that's part of it too. And we'll get to that in a second. But here, so our spiritual growth is so often compared to our natural growth in our physical bodies. Spiritual growth, natural growth. 1 Peter 2:2. He says what there? Like newborn babies, what crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word so that you can grow thereby. One example, Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants. Here's the comparison. Tossed back and forth by the waves and winds. He's talking about false doctrine there at that time. No, we grow in our salvation. So as we're talking this, being gentle among you, and really, yes, Mother's Day, but I mean, parenting is so much, as we know, mom and dad together. Yes, there's some single parents, and this applies there too. But I don't just want to single out the moms this morning. There's two things I have under this, being gentle among you. There would be a multitude of items. But first, our words. Our words. They are important. We should know that too. I'm going through this. I'm going to see the comparison between what Paul was doing with the church at Thessalonica as he was planting it, building it, and he made the comparison by the Spirit of God to parenting with our kids. God's word, number one. So God's word in this is absolutely important in our spiritual lives. And it was to those people at that time. As he came there, he went to the synagogues first. That was his custom to tell, hey, because they were all waiting for the Messiah. You know, news traveled slowly at that time. We're talking 2,000 years ago, right? He was going on these missionary journeys to tell them, you know what? The Messiah has come. Almost in every city, the people would be like, he has? He's come? Yes, his name is Jesus. This is what he did. This is what happened in Jerusalem. He went to the cross. He took our place. These are the Old Testament scriptures that prove it's Jesus. In every city, initially, there was great response from the Jewish people, from the Gentile people. Many believers. They believed. But in every city, guess what? There were some of those Jewish religious leaders, just like with Jesus. They were jealous. They didn't want their thing to be changed. And so they started riots then in these cities. Stirred up the people. It's what they would do. It says, as his custom, Paul went to the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, that was Saturday for them, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. That's what it's got to be. We saw that last Sunday on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, on Resurrection Day, when Jesus walked with those two disciples. What did he do? From the scriptures, the Old Testament, he proved that he was the Messiah. It's got to be from the Word, and he did that road to Emmaus. All right, that's on the spiritual side. How about on the natural side? Our words to our children. So important. Have we ever said things we regretted? As parents, I'm talking. Yeah, I would imagine 100% of us have. Why did I say that? And then we need to come with what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Our words are important. They can be firm, yeah, and should be. And they are loving both our words. So much about our words in Proverbs chapter 18, 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 15, 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, and it does. Excuse me. We know that in our relationship with each other as adults. We know it with our kids. We know it in our marriage. Our words are important. So we have to be careful as to how we do that. With our kids, I don't know if you ever use a bar of soap today, but I certainly had a bar of soap in my mouth once that I can remember as a little guy. And I'm not going to tell you the word I said, but I never said it again. I will promise you that much. Oh yeah, that's something that I don't forget. And did it harm me? Well, I don't think so. Is that maybe that's why I stutter sometimes? No. Just kidding. There's so much with our words that we use. I think of to our children in our homes. I think of the in Christ realities, for example, that we should know as adults, that we should speak to our children like what? What favorite? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do encourage our children on, right? When they feel, I can't do it. I want to quit. I don't want to do it. No, you know what? You started this. We've all been there, right? You started it. Maybe it's a sports activity. Maybe it's in music. Maybe it's piano lessons, whatever. Oh, the excitement is always there at first, but nearly in every home, I don't want to do this anymore. Well, I didn't want to take piano anymore either, but it wasn't an option. You're taking it. You're taking it. No, you can do it. No, what, just in your own self? No, it's not in our own selves. We teach our kids as they're young. No, look, this is the verse, Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because why? Well, because 2 Corinthians 5:17, because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new good. New creation. The old is gone. The new has come. No, you're a new creation. Does Jesus live in you? Yeah. Then he'll help you with this. You know why else? Because Romans 8 says you're more than a good. More than a conqueror in Christ Jesus who loved you. We build them up not for just who they are alone, but who they are in Christ with our words. So, words, letter B, if you're going on the outline, under being gentle among you, Paul said there, we were like a devoted mother tenderly caring for her own children. What? Under B, she's not a pushover. Doesn't mean mom or dad is a pushover. I have to always be gentle. Okay, gentle, gentle, gentle. Doesn't mean she's a pushover. Paul, as he went around preaching God's word, he was not a pushover, even though he says we were gentle among you. But you know what? He's in chapter 2 of verse 2 of Thessalonians there. He says, with the help of God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. He didn't just quit. You know what the strong opposition was? It'd be going back to Acts chapter 16 when they first came to Philippi, that city, and they got thrown in jail for casting an evil spirit out of this slave girl. They set her free by the power of God, a good thing, and they end up in jail getting whipped and beaten and chased out of that city for preaching Jesus Christ. So it's in spite of strong opposition, we came here. Thessalonica still preach God's word. You know what he said in chapter 4? Thessalonica, by the way, was a very pagan city in its day, full of idolatry. Did he just go in there, hey, we got another God to present to you, one among many. See if you like him. His name is Jesus. It's not what he preached. Full of false idol worship in that city. He did not preach that. He said, brothers, I'm in chapter 4 now of Thessalonians. We instructed you how to live. See, he had been there, left, and now he's writing this letter to him. We instructed you how to live in order to please God. And then he goes on, it's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. It was full of it. Of all kinds, that each one of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the unbelievers who do not know God. What's he saying? If you're going to follow Christ, it's not anything and everything goes. I heard on the news this week, just this week, that in the state of Oregon, they passed a law that all public schools in that state now have to have the female personal hygiene products, if you know what I mean, adults, right, in the boys' bathrooms. By law, required. That's where this goes. I've heard in other schools, you've probably heard it too, certain bathrooms, certain schools, they have to have litter boxes, cat litter boxes in the bathrooms, in the public school, in case somebody identifies as a cat. Where does the craziness stop? Paul addressed it to those people. He addressed it strongly. He was not a pushover, neither is mom, and you know it. Under that, moms, dads, we exercise loving but firm discipline, right? We call it tough love. It's what we call it, and it needs to be. Yes, I got spanked more than once. I know timeouts are valuable too. We see a lot of that, whichever you prefer. But it can't just be anything goes. As much naturally as you insist on the right diet for your children, vegetables and whatever other good things, fruits, and often maybe make the kids sit at the table until they at least try that thing, right? So all the more it needs to come over into our spiritual lives with God's word, that we insist on that time in our home, whether it's at night with the bedtime prayers, whether it's after the meal, a time of devotion, or whatever it might be. It's more important than on the natural side. Rules, boundaries, that's what love is. No boundaries, that's not love. That's why playgrounds at school have fences on them. They've done studies over the years. Our own playground here. Sure, the street's right there. But I've read studies more than once where they've had a playground for the elementary kids with no fence around it. And then they've had the playground with fence around it where the boundaries are. And every time, the one with no boundaries, most of the kids will stay just huddled in the middle, right there. Sure, there's some that are going to run off, yes. The ones that have the boundaries, the kids play more freely. They play the whole playground, going up to the fence, and they know where the boundary is. And that's what God does for us. He gives that to us. Proverbs 6:23, the corrections of discipline are the way of life. Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son or daughter, but he who loves him or her is careful to discipline him or her. And Proverbs, I could have given you a whole bunch of verses in regard to that. And we probably as parents, I imagine you've all told your kids, I'm doing this because I love you. The kids might say, no, right? They might say, I, H-A-A-T-E, you. They might say that. And that hurts, doesn't it? As mom or dad. But you know you're doing it for their own good. You know that you are. This family, I'm not going to get through the whole outline if you're wondering. It's obvious to me at this point. We'll have to pick up next week. This family, when we were with the Navajos, awesome family, came to our church. Mom did anyway. Two daughters, and the littlest guy was a boy. And with the Navajos, they had their real name, but almost always it was the nickname that they went by all the time. We had Sister Willie, baby Yaji. Yaji means little. Beaner, Biji, if you're looking for nicknames. This little guy's nickname was Sunshine. Cutest little guy, of course. And as he grew older, you know, he had that wild side there, even as a little guy in him, which boys do, fine. One time he had gotten into trouble and mom come to me and said, you know, Pastor Mike, so I can spank my two girls and discipline them, but my little Sunshine, I just cannot spank him. He's my little Sunshine. I just don't know what I'm going to do with him. And I said to her, you know what, Mom? You're going to need to discipline that little guy, or he's going to become your severe thunderstorm instead of your little sunshine down the road. Now, he was, I don't know, when we left there, maybe middle school or upper middle school. So I've lost track of how he turned out. I hope he didn't turn into her little tornado. But it has to be. It's part of it, being gentle among you. One of the parents will most often be the stronger disciplinarian. In most homes, when I meet with couples before their weddings, we talk about this, and almost every time it is. It was in my home. Our mom was the one that laid down the law most often. And she did well. She did. If dad got involved in it, it was not good. But we certainly got more spankings from mom. So it was. So as we go on, the next part with parenting and sacrifice, but I'm not going to have time to even begin that this morning. But we see that with Paul. He said to the people back in Thessalonica, he said, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. And then he talks about that, what they did in ministering the gospel. And so we do as parents. And parents, you sacrifice in incredible ways. Grandparents too. The job is never done. As I look through the congregation, I see incredible sacrifice in so many ways. And God bless you all, moms and dads, on this Mother's Day. It's amazing to see. I had things to get into, but again, we will stop here. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we said and as your word says, this is your design, the family, from the very beginning. You laid it out there in Genesis. You've laid it out all the way through Scripture of your intention. Lord, we know none of us are perfect. We've messed it up in many ways, but you are a forgiving God, and you are gentle with us, and you are patient with us, and you, we thank you, Lord, for that. For all the young families here, and there are many, so we saw the beautiful kids all standing up here. Thank you for every one of those families as they're doing their best, Lord, before you to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Guide them, strengthen them in that process. We do this for you, Jesus, and for your glory. So I ask for your hand of protection upon them and upon the entire congregation and those that are visiting with us today. Give your angels charge over us to guard and keep us in all of our ways, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The challenges seem bigger now than ever before, but we can do it. We can do it. Our closing hymn is The Family of God. So in the hymnal 419, it's only the chorus that's in there. Our old hymnals had the verses, and they will be on the screen. But let's go ahead and stand as we sing this together. Thank you. of the family. Brothers and sisters in Christ, please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. If some of you are helping with the flowers, may if you haven't gone out yet, why don't you? And we are going to sing God Bless America. I think the second graders are the ones helping with the flowers, if those kids want to go out there too. God Bless America as a prayer for our nation. Yeah, thank you, Mark. I forgot to say that. We have roses for the high school and college graduates and carnations for the eighth grade graduates. Thank you. Thanks for getting those together, Teresa. They're beautiful. God Bless America. Oh, her music. Okay, well, let's see. Oh, there's some. Thank you. Does that work? That's about one of those where you feel like when you forgot your sermon notes, right?
Different version. We'll see what we do.
We'll see. Okay. You may be seated. God bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.